Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What up, motherfuckers? It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
Where's my little snake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
Here we are, Real Ass Podcast, vaccination special. I am the Puerto Rican Rattlesnake. I am the Ultimate Minority, the artist formerly known as the Howard Stern of MMA Radio, the Real Ass Dude himself, the Ultimate Minority, Louis J. Gomez, your favorite Puerto Rican out there. It's a lot of white supremacists that listen to the show. So I'm,
is that what it is?
They let me into their lives. They like me. They accept me. I accept them. Honestly, there's no judgment here at the Realist Podcast. Very happy to have on the show. I think for the second time, we've had him on before, but very happy to have back on the show because he's one of my only smart friends, one of the only people that I will listen to when it comes down to really any medical advice. I'm a hypochondriac and I hate going to the doctor as it is. So I've called him up just about random weird shit, bumps on my dick, my body not feeling good, whatever it is. He is the one and only Dr. Steve. How are you, Dr. Steve?
Thanks, man. I live to serve. So you can call me anytime with your dick and nut questions. Happy to take your calls 24/7. So thanks for having me on.
Very cool. And so what is it? Was still weird medicine?
Yeah. Yeah. Weird medicine. Sirius XM. Channel 103. It's crazy. We are the longest running show on that channel now.
Wow.
And by several years at this point, so it'll be hard to beat that one. And we've got the podcast as well. So wherever you find podcasts, we're on with the laugh button now.
Very cool. Yeah. I've known Dr. Steve a long time. My old school days being on Riotcast with Bobby Kelly. Yeah. And that's when I met Dr. Steve. So look.
Hammer fisting.
Hey, hell yeah. Hammer fisting podcast.
That's right.
Old school, baby boy. So here's the deal. Dr. Steve. I, throughout this whole pandemic, we've spoken a couple times about COVID and, you know, I'll say I'm a skeptic about not necessarily the virus, just about the way things have been handled.
Yeah.
I always have been. This is, you know,
forget
COVID. I'm a skeptic about the way things are handled in life. If you go to the DMV, you see how many extra employees are there. You see how much wasted energy is happening. And I'm going like, I just don't trust this whole system. From a layman's perspective, it's easy to see. You try to call the IRS and get somebody on the phone. You just see the process that you have to go through. You're right. Like, I just don't trust them with my health. I don't trust them with anything. So you say I should be a skeptic.
Why do you say that? Be in general. I think healthy skepticism is a part of critical thinking. And critical thinking is something that we have too little of in this world right now. And looking at data and not necessarily just believing what you've been told, but to look into it and synthesize the data for yourself to the extent that you can and find people that you trust to give you information if you don't. And, you know, it's whole thesis, antithesis, or, you know, thesis, antithesis, synthesis situation where you know the truth is somewhere in there. I think that's smart. Now, that's not to say that skepticism and pathologic cynicism are the same, because I see a whole lot of that these days too. So I think there are people who don't believe anything that anybody says, and I have issues with that too. But critical thinking is a good thing, and part of that's being skeptical.
Yeah, and I think what's kind of weird, though, everything's become so politicized that even critical thinking has become politicized.
It's crazy.
If you go against what people are saying, you're just immediately put into a category. You're like, you are a Nazi Trump supporter. Like, because I'm questioning the validity of wearing a mask. What the fuck does that have to do with anything? Right. How is that? But they push you over to that side.
You're a libtard. I mean, it's across the spectrum, and we are separating ourselves from each other. Now, Michael Malice says that he thinks that that's a good thing, that, you know, self-segregation is a good thing. He may be right. We'll see.
We'll see what's up. I think that we are at a weird time with the internet where we don't know. we don't know the power that's at our fingertips. We didn't realize how being able to share information that fast, being able to put something that's going to be out there forever. We didn't realize how much impact the internet would have. We didn't realize it's all very, very new. I actually tweeted something like this recently, but it's like we are in the primitive stages right now of the internet, and we are hitting each other in the head with bones, and we're figuring out that fire is hot, and we're figuring out what to do and what not to do. And I think it will even itself out one day. And maybe through regulation and through government regulation, it probably will be, but it's like, this is just a lot of information and a lot of emotion that is sort of being slung around very, very quickly. And everything, including something like this virus, became extremely politicized, extreme hot button issue. And I'm going like, well, I'm trying not to fall on that side of the political spectrum with everything in my life, because I try not to be a hypocrite. I try to say that I think critically. But even with this, I'm going like, I find myself just being just sort of questioning all of it. And a lot of the response that people have for me is like, oh, well, do you want to see people dead? What do you think now when you see people that are questioning wearing a mask, or you see people that are sort of questioning the policies in place that are, you know, you'll see there's certain states and certain areas where that happens more often than not.
Yep.
As a person who's a medical professional, and you could also include what your background is here as well for the people that don't know. But what do you sort of say to those people, and how do you sort of react to those people that sort of have that level of criticism? And do you believe that they're being irresponsible and they're being dangerous?
So you've got, I think the Fauci Rand Paul conversation was very illustrative of both sides of this. I mean, you're a poker player, right? You play poker.
I have played. I'm not very good. On the last show, we did a one-on-one versus me and another comedian, and I was cleaned out in two hands.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, poker is a game of incomplete information, right? You have some information and you're trying to derive the rest of the information. And this situation is unprecedented in the sense that we are dealing with things that we have no information. We're dealing with a game that has incomplete information. For example, what are the long-term effects of mRNA vaccines? So far, so good. They look great, but there is the question about this immune mediated enhancement or antibody enhancement of the immune system, which happened in cats when they did a coronavirus vaccine. And when the cats were exposed later on to other coronaviruses, they died. And scientists who worked on these vaccines were very well aware of that. And so far, we haven't seen anything like that. You know, we've vaccinated millions and millions, hundreds of millions of people at this point across the world. And lots of people have been exposed to other coronaviruses. We haven't seen that. Mm-hmm. But we don't have any long-term data. How can we say, well, long-term, this is going to do anything? It's all just supposition because we have incomplete information. And this is the first time in our known history, our modern history, where we've had science develop before our eyes. And because it's developing before our eyes, things change. That's what science is. You know, in medicine, they used to say beta blockers in congestive heart failure, you know, pump failure, was malpractice. Now we know it's malpractice if you don't treat people with them. So we change. Fauci says, don't wear a mask. Well, you know, when there was 100 cases in Washington and I'm in Tennessee, it was stupid for me to wear a mask. Now that there's millions of cases around me, it makes more sense. So we're seeing these things change, and that makes people more and more skeptical because we just don't have complete information. So now you've got Fauci saying, well, we don't know the answer, so you should wear a mask. And then Rand Paul saying, if I'm fully vaccinated, where is the evidence that I should wear a mask? And then Fauci counters that with, well, we don't have evidence that you shouldn't wear one. And then it's just, what kind of person are you? That's right. What it comes down to. Are you the kind that says, well, if I don't have any data on this, then it's not going to bother me? Or are you the kind of person that says, well, if I don't have any data, I'd better be more careful? And that's how this divide kind of happened. And that's not going to change, unfortunately, until a long time from now when we have complete information, if we ever do.
Have you been vaccinated?
Hell Hell yeah. I was on my show when the Pfizer trial was announced, and I said, I will be the first in line to get that because I'm 65 years old. And if I die from this, who gives a shit? And so I was willing, and I'm not trying to be so noble, but it was kind of a, hey, I'll do this so you guys maybe don't have to, because, I'll take the hit. I was pretty sure that it would be perfectly safe and effective. But, you never know. I've seen I Am Legend. You don't know. But so I got vaccinated 6-7 months ago in the early part of the Pfizer trial.
Well, what about the people that are a little bit nervous? Like for me, here's the thing. It's not that I'm nervous. Okay. Look, at first I was like, I don't know what this is. I don't want to put something into my body. And then my girlfriend said to me, she was like, I've watched you take drugs from strangers. Like people you meet on the road, like they'll hand you a little baggie and you put it into your face and you don't question anything. And now you're worried. And she's kind of right. Part of it, I think, more is, and this is with a lot of people, I think we don't want to be told what to do, right? Yeah. And there's something about having my hand forced. And if the government was telling me to take a little baggie from a stranger in a parking lot somewhere, I would also have an issue with it. It's sort of my own, it's all to my own free will. And I just feel like right now, I know I had the antibodies, or at least maybe I still do, but I had COVID. I'm young. I'm healthy.
Right.
I don't feel a need to take a vaccine. I don't get a flu shot. There's just something very strange about being forced to do it. And we're not there yet, but it does seem like we're going there. And that's really like, that's almost like I almost feel like I'm preemptively tapping out to this like dystopian thing that they're about to do, where they're forcing everyone to get a vaccine. And there's vaccine passports where you got to show your card to enter a supermarket and this, that, and the other. So what do you say to somebody like me from, and I trust you, doctors, you don't bullshit. This is why I like having, this is why I'm doing this show is, and I know this isn't the normal show for the fans that are listening to the show. We're not going to just make, fucking dumb racist and sexist jokes the whole time. There'll be a few, but I will get them in there. I promise. But, I wanted to have this conversation to somebody who is very, I think the way a lot of people think, and a lot of people are afraid to have this conversation because it's so politicized. And it seems like, there'll be people that are like, oh, you're being irresponsible and dangerous. And I'm like, no, that's not what's going on right now. I feel like it's irresponsible and dangerous to put something in my body without knowing what it is, or to put that into my son's body or my friends or family. Yeah. It just seems like, let's just pause for a second. I wasn't afraid of getting sick from coronavirus. So I've been told that's selfish. What about other people? Just give me your opinion on this as a medical professional.
I'm a libertarian, so I'm not in favor of the government forcing people to have this vaccine or for the government to force people to do much of anything. But they won't have to if this goes in the direction I'm concerned about, which is what you mentioned, is these vaccine passports, that you will only be able to do certain things if you have a vaccine passport. And then what'll happen is that there will be private concerns that will become surrogates for the government, saying, well, the government's saying, we're not making you do it. But, the corporations and other places may do that. So I am
which already exists to a certain degree. There's certain vaccines kids have to get before they can go to school.
No, I'm totally. I get it. And I'm actually okay with that. I'm a libertarian. That's, because I'm a physician, I see the consequences of not doing certain things.
Right.
And that's one of them. Now in this, the main reason that we shut everything down was to prevent the medical system from becoming overwhelmed. So, and I think about this a lot, and I don't know that in itself, the response was, well, we only have a certain number of ICU beds. And if we just let everybody get infected all at once, it'll be 60 million people. You've got 1% of those are going to die. And there's 5-7% of all of those are going to end up in the hospital. We don't have enough beds. And then
there's a flatten the curve theory.
Then there's and then there's the cascade that happens. It's not just the coronavirus people that'll die. It's the people with with appendicitis that can't get into the hospital and pneumonias that just aren't going to go because they're terrified, that kind of stuff. So, but to do that, we basically destroyed our economy. I was thinking in the shower yesterday that maybe a way to have done this would have been for us to be more nimble, like what they were going to do in New York was, you know, they brought that ship into the harbor. So you create the beds as you need them. We got plenty of ventilators. Our problem is staff, but there would have been ways to maybe have reacted to this that wouldn't have required such draconian measures. Because right now, the vast majority of people over 65 that are vulnerable to dying from this virus have been vaccinated now. And we're seeing the death rates decrease, hospitalizations decrease. Things are opened up where I am. And we've got a fourth of the people in the hospital right now. And it's just staying there. It's not increasing. It's not decreasing right now, but it's a very low level of people that are in the hospital and that are getting sick with this. So what we have, and I'm just sort of rambling, I apologize.
No, please.
50 little experiments going on. And Florida, my understanding is they just opened up everything. And so we'll see. Now, even in Florida, though, I was just there not too long ago. There may not be a mandate, but if you go to, say, a Walgreens or a CVS, they may still have a sign that says you got to wear a mask when you come in here. I don't have a problem with that. That's their property. If they want to require me to wear a mask, fine. If I don't want to, I could probably find a pharmacy that I could go to that doesn't require it. But that's not limiting me in any way. It's not really limiting my ability to do things.
I kind of like the masks now. At this point, they're a fashion statement. Yeah. They've become like, it's once again, it's almost like, I just don't tell me that I have to, but I don't really mind it. Like in the wintertime, it's kind of funny in New York, it's so cold that it's nice to not have that wind hitting your face. I never would wear a face mask. So it was kind of. Sorry.
I'm okay with it. I've gotten used to it. And at work, I'm going to continue to wear them. So you got Florida that's wide open. You have other states that are still clamped down. We'll just see. Now, you know, Colorado doesn't have to open up because the federal government isn't telling them what to do. They can watch what happens in Florida. If everything's cool, then they can cautiously maybe open up too, and then we can get back to normal a lot quicker. So I'm cool with this federal republic that we have where we've got different states can do different things and try some different stuff, and we can all learn from them. Tennessee's pretty wide open at this point too.
My girlfriend's mad at me because I haven't gotten vaccinated yet. She's getting vaccinated this week. She's got two parents. Oh, hell yeah.
It's my wife.
Nice. See? Yeah. Always women. Every time. Just ruining the flow of life, baby boy. So this is my point. Right. My girlfriend, I'm trying to live my life. Okay? I'm not hurting nobody. I'm just not in a hurry to get vaccinated. Simple as that. Nothing crazy. I always think my son's mother's, we're separated. Obviously we co-parent, but she's a very smart woman. And she says, and she's super liberal as well, but she's like, I'm not taking this vaccine just yet. I'm waiting a little bit. Like, I don't need to just take it just yet. I'll get tested when I need to go somewhere if that's necessary. And I don't think that that's an irresponsible approach. Yeah. My girlfriend's like, oh, my parents are going to be so mad at you. And like, you know, they're a little bit older. What do you say am I being irresponsible for not getting vaccinated right now?
Have her parents been vaccinated?
Yeah.
Okay. You're not a danger to them and they're not a danger to you. That's the first thing I would say. The CDC does recommend that people get vaccinated, even if they've already had COVID-19. And that, I'm just going to read to you from their website. It says that's because experts do not yet know how long you're protected from getting sick again after recovering from COVID-19. So again, we're dealing with not knowing something and we're doing something hoping that we're going to make something better that we don't know anything about in the first place. It says, even if you've already recovered from COVID-19, it is possible, although rare, that you could get infected with the virus that causes COVID-19 again. And so, you know, it's like, so
they're covering their ass by using that language, yes. Obviously. Right? Right. But the reality is I'm likely not getting COVID-19 again because I already had it.
At least for several months. Right.
And they essentially just can't say that, but if they're vaccinated, because now they're still, the vaccine's not 100%. So it's like,
well, it's damn close.
Yeah.
You know, the mRNA vaccines are right at 96% effective, and they're 100% effective against death and dying, at least right now.
Dr. Steve, please help me with this. Help me say this to my girlfriend. Give me the words to use so I don't have to get the fucking vaccine. That's what I need right now. Okay.
Start off with, honey, I love you.
Okay. She's like, come on, Lewis, you know, you're really not going to get the vaccine. You know, my parents, they're older. They're not going to think it's acceptable. That's just not okay. You have to get the vaccine.
Yeah. Well, that's an ultimately now lesson.
You got to start off by saying, listen, bitch.
So. that's irrational for them to be worried about you that you haven't had the vaccine when you've had the virus, in the sense that I'm talking in the most strict definition of the term irrational, in that we don't have any evidence that you're posing a danger to them, and they're fully vaccinated, so they're doubly protected. You know, you've got antibodies, and you have, remember, it's not just antibodies. There's humoral immunity, which are the antibodies that attach to the virus. And then there's cellular immunity. And cellular immunity are the white blood cell, you know, consists of different types of white blood cells that do different things. One of them detects the antibody that's been triggered and then may engulf the cell or destroy it and engulf the viruses. Oh, there's all kinds of stuff. Then there are memory T cells that remember all of this stuff. So humoral immunity, in other words, the B cells, the plasma cells in the body, may not just keep producing antibodies forever, but cellular immunity is forever. So when you get infected again, and you will, if your antibodies drop at some point, most likely, it's going to be a very mild syndrome.
Wow.
My hypothesis with this is that all the coronaviruses, when they first hit the human population, started this way, that the novel coronavirus was killing people, you know, 1-3%. But when you have a global pandemic in the year 1100 and it's killing 1-3% of people, in fact, who the hell's going to notice? They will never notice that. It's not like the plague of Justinian where people were dropping right and left. It was obvious. So
there was no social media. There was no media at all.
Nothing.
It was like, you just like, you know, people were dying. People also died when they were 40.
Right. So then all the kids that got exposed to this thing grew up, and now there's no adults that haven't been exposed to it. And so when they get hit with it, it's a common cold, and their kids, remember, kids aren't affected by this like we are. And so now you have a whole population that, when this the benign coronavirus that's been in the population for generations hits, it just causes a cold. It'll kill 10,000 people a year, but that's just lost in the noise. You know, we see those as quote unquote atypical pneumonias or viral pneumonias. And we never used to test those people. We just said there's no way we can know what they are. By God, we will be testing for those viruses now. But so a generation from now, two generations from now, this particular virus, SARS-CoV-2, is just going to cause, this is my hypothesis, common colds in everybody, because everybody that would have died from it has either died or died off, and everybody else has been exposed when they were young enough that it's just not going to kill them.
So what about the thing that Rogan said? People were freaking out about Joe Rogan saying that. I don't know if you heard it. Shannon, pull up the exact quote if you can. But
I will never disagree with anything Joe says, so I'm just Joe's throwing that out there, right?
Yeah. So
because I'd like to be on his show someday.
Well, he got into a lot of trouble. People were freaking out about
it. Oh, okay. Well, then I disagree with what he... No, I'm just saying. What did he say?
Shannon, do you have that quote? Please, if you can find that, that'd be great. Because I don't want to misquote him. Because I don't want to see if you agree or disagree. Because
okay,
he ended up pulling back on the quote a little bit.
Oh, really?
One of them is, people still want you to get your child vaccinated, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, he was like, if you're a young, healthy 18-year-old kid who's like in shape, who is exercising, what'd you say?
I have it. If you're like 21 years old and you say to me, should I get vaccinated? I'll go, no. Are you healthy? Are you a healthy person? Like, look, don't do anything stupid, but you should take care of yourself. You should, if you're a healthy person and you're exercising all the time and you're young and you're eating well, I don't think you need to worry about this.
Yeah. You know what? From a population standpoint, he's not wrong. I mean, if you're looking at a large population, that is not incorrect. There will be individuals in that population who will be affected by it. It's not that there are zero kids who have died from this thing. I mean, some children become severely ill, and they may need to be hospitalized, treated in intensive care, and particularly children with underlying conditions like obesity, diabetes, and asthma. So what people are worried about...
Well, that's not what he was saying. He was saying if you're a 21-year-old, in shape, healthy person who's working out, you're athletic...
Yep.
This is, you don't need to go get a vaccine. That's essentially what he was saying. As, from, you know, from your standpoint, is that wrong information? Or at the very least, is it sort of irresponsible for him to tell people?
Again, this is the Fauci, Rand Paul argument that do we know how many vulnerable people an asymptomatic or mildly symptomatic 20-year-old can infect and how much carnage are they causing? Now, the thing about asymptomatic people is they're not, it's hard to transmit it if you're not sneezing and snotting on somebody. However, if you're asymptomatic, you're coming into contact with a lot more people.
Right.
So, that's this thing where, you know, there's no evidence or little evidence that they are a danger to anybody. But then again, we don't know. So you've got that two sides, one side saying we should err on the side of caution, the other side saying you're interfering with my liberty. And until we know, I'm not going to do it. And it's that same argument again. I mean, it's just over and over and over again, because we have limited information about this. That's the problem. And now my initial feeling on this, and I still agree with this, I agree with myself on this, is that you protect the vulnerable. Those are the 65 and older, and they've a vast majority of them have been vaccinated, and everyone else be cool around the vulnerable, and then let people do what the hell they want to do. And if they're willing to take the risk isn't zero. The risk isn't zero that you and I will both be hit by a meteor at exactly the same time while we're sitting here talking about it. It's unlikely.
Right. Of course. Exactly. Well, so, your stance is that, like, sort of let people make their decisions. Do you feel as if everyone needs to be vaccinated? There seems to be this push to get everyone in the world vaccinated. Yeah. I don't really understand it. Maybe you could explain it to me. What does herd immunity even mean? I don't really get it. I don't really understand. Like it doesn't mean that everyone in the world has to be vaccinated. My understanding of it is like, yeah, if you want to be vaccinated, if you're vulnerable, if you're of a certain, you know, you have certain things, yeah, you should be vaccinated.
Yeah.
And, you know, the reality is most people are getting vaccinated anyway. So for the, you know, the small percentage of people that don't feel comfortable getting vaccinated, don't want to get vaccinated because they're fucking conspiracy theorists, you know, can't get vaccinated, whatever it is, what does it really matter?
Well, this isn't like measles. So let me talk about a real simple concept. We'll do a very simple formula, and then you can see, because, you know, I'm interested in data and critical thinking and reality. There's a number called the R-naught. The R-naught is the number of people that one person that has COVID-19 will infect if they're embedded in a vulnerable population. So that number for COVID-19 is 2.4. Then there's another number called the R sub T, which is related to that. It's the number of people that one person will infect in the real population. Okay. So that could vary. If you're in a very vulnerable population, it could be higher. If you're in an area where lots of people have had this and you're embedded in them, then that number will be lower. But the R sub T. So to calculate herd immunity, what you do is you take 1 minus 1 over the R sub 0. And that number, so 1 over 2.4 is whatever. It's something less than.
By the way, if you guys know that, like, there's that GIF right now where, like, the numbers are going around my head and I'm, like, staring at it.
I have no idea what
the fuck you're talking about.
This is really, like, third grade math, but.
Wow. Okay. Fucking double damn. Thanks.
So 1 divided by 2.4 is 0.41. And so you take 1 minus that. So minus 1 is 0.58. So to get to herd immunity with COVID-19, you have to have 58% of the people who are immune. It could be through having the virus or getting the vaccine. But that just gets that R sub T. Remember the number we're talking about in the real world, below 1. So if the R sub T is 1, 1,000 people will infect 1,000 people, which will infect 1,000 people, and on and on. And you'll have a sort of a linear, you know, a line that's going up from left to right on your graph because it's the same number of people all the time. It's got a constant slope.
Right. So but, that's good. That's good.
Well, I mean, it'll just go on forever. Right. But it, once you get to this herd immunity, that gets that one down to 0.9 so that 1,000 people will infect 910 and right. then they'll infect 820 and 720. But the problem is we're talking about millions of people. So, and each one of those generations is 21 days long. So it'll take forever if all we get to is
herd
the threshold of herd immunity. Okay. Now, in the elderly, we're at 70-80%. So that's good. Measles, let me just throw this out there just to show you why we have to have universal measles vaccination, because the R sub zero or the R naught for measles is 12.
Wow.
So you have to have 90% of people that have immunity before you can stop the spread of measles. And interestingly, influenza, take a guess what the R sub zero is. You think it's more or less? Than COVID.
Well, we would assume that it would be the way the media portrays it, that it would be substantially less. But I'm going to assume by your tone and the trickiness of this question that it's going to be more. I'm going to say 6.
No, I'm going to.
Oh,
well, I thought you had it. You had it. It was actually it's less. It's half. It's 1.2.
Oh, 1.2. Okay.
That's why we have not seen, that's why we haven't seen any influenza this year, because the masks and the social distancing and the hand washing helped to keep us from having that truly overwhelming infection rate that would have destroyed our medical system. But what it also did was I've talked to multiple infectious disease people, and we are testing. People say, well, you're not testing for it. That's why I don't see it. No, we are testing for it. Everyone that comes in gets tested for COVID-19, influenza A, influenza B, and respiratory syncytial virus. We're not seeing any of those.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, that's another positive benefit of the masks as well. I mean, it's not bad to wash your hands more. The best, especially like an airplane or a bus or like a subway car, doesn't hurt. Really not a bad thing. I don't mind those at this point. What do you think though? Make it a little simple for me. Should I go get vaccinated right now? I don't really feel a need to, but is you know, should I get vaccinated and why, or why should I not sweat it?
Okay. So all I can tell you, because I am a practicing physician, is I got to tell you what the CDC says. They recommend that you do it. They can't mandate it, so it's a personal choice. Shoulda, woulda, coulda, all those questions are pretty difficult to answer. I think that you personally, I think that you probably would be fine even if you got reinfected. Although if you got reinfected, you could transmit it to someone who was vulnerable, but they'd have to be vulnerable.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, if they hadn't gotten vaccinated and they're vulnerable,
it's on them.
They're fucking retarded. And maybe they shouldn't be on this earth. I'm not saying, I don't know if what the CDC would say about that, but I'm just saying that that's not a very smart person. So
I'm looking for that on the CDC website. I don't see those particular.
I'm reading in between the lines here. You say, you're telling me right now, it's really not a big deal. If I don't get vaccinated, it's, you know, off the record, look, it's just not a big deal. It's not, it's truly not, because the majority of people are going to, and everyone that's vulnerable is going to. And I'm not a weirdo. It's not like I refuse to put my mask on. It's not like I'm fucking, you know, fighting the fight. I don't even care anymore. Yeah. There was some weird shit the way that it all went down. We all agree that the media, you know, portray this in certain ways, but at this point I'm exhausted. I don't give a shit, dude. I just want to go back to the movies. I want to go to a concert. I want to go to fucking see a music. I want to go see Broadway theater.
Yeah,
how great will that be?
I think by this summer we should be seeing some of that. I mean, I hear that even New York City is going to be opening up pretty soon. So as we see the death, we may see infection rate going up, but as long as we're seeing the hospitalizations and the death rate continue to decline, I think that most people will finally come to their senses on this. Now, there's a great website I'm going to send you to, and it's covid.stoutlabs.com, and Stout Lab, stoutlabs.com. And you can play with the numbers. You could just look at them yourself. This guy is a friend of mine. He's a genius, a computer guy. Whipped this website up in a day. And you can compare new cases versus new hospitalizations. You can go state by state, country by country. And the one that you're really interested in is deaths per 100,000 population and how that changes over time. And you know, the United States is not at the top. I asked my medical students, who do you think has handled this thing the worst? And they'll all say the United States. It's like, no, let's, how would you define that? Well, would you agree that deaths per 100,000 population would be a metric that would be worth worth looking at as far as gauging whether a country has done a poor job? And when you do that, the United States ends up, you know, we're in number, I don't know, 13, 14. Oh gosh, we're even farther down now. We're like almost number 17 in the world.
You're killing it.
Yeah, behind Italy, Brazil, Peru, the United Kingdom, Poland, Croatia, you know, those. And we're right up there with other countries like Mexico, Spain, and Portugal. So, you know, when you go to a website like this, you can reassure yourself because these are the real numbers.
Do you see us going down a path where we have to be vaccinated in order to get on an airplane?
I hope not. I would hate to see that happen. Flew and no, I don't know if anybody on the plane was vaccinated and we all did fine. It wasn't a super spreader event. While this thing is still active, you may find that they're still mandating masks on airplanes. I don't have a problem with that. People on airplanes are gross. So I'm yeah. fine with separating myself even further from them by wearing a mask. Yeah. And people, you know, there've been studies going way back that people don't wash their effing hands when they take a dump at the ball game. They actually did an observational study that showed that if people didn't know they were being watched, 50% of people didn't wash their hands after coming out of a stall. And if they knew they were being washed, then 70% did. So
only 70%.
I know. Even 30% was just like, oh, fuck yourself. I'm not washing my hands. So people are gross. So I'm okay with the improved hygiene and stuff.
Yeah. The other thing is like all restaurants, all stores, everything, they're a lot cleaner. The counters are always cleaner.
Yes.
Now. You know, you remember back in the day, you go like to an ATM machine, the buttons were all scuzzy and like, yeah. just like, you just don't really get that.
Now there's
anymore.
Someone out there rubbing them off every couple yeah. of people. I love that.
Yeah. Not bad. So yeah, I mean, things are slowly opening back up and, you know, look, there's a lot that I think they got wrong. I think that there's a lot, obviously they got right. I think there's a lot probably that I got wrong throughout the past year and a half. And I you know, I was definitely scoffing at a lot of these things and, you know, you, yeah. after speaking to you, I you know, I sort of taking certain things a little bit more seriously. And I thank you very much for letting me know and having that soundbite to show my girlfriend to let her know that I don't have to get vaccinated, that her parents are going to be fine.
Did I say that?
Did say that. You said that they're going to be fine even if I don't get vaccinated because they're vaccinated and that's okay. And that's really what this was all about.
Wow.
But
yeah I don't see you posing a danger to them.
The vaccines, though, do you feel like they're safe?
Yes. So far, so good.
I know time will tell, you said, with certain yeah. ones. Is there any one that is less safe than the other one? Is there anyone that you would recommend people to get more than the next one? Because I don't really know. I'm blindly just, you know, it's, yeah. it's a name.
I don't have any scientific reasoning for this other than the mRNA vaccines seem to be more protective, you know, 94 to 96% to protective against infection compared to 76% for the AstraZeneca vaccine. And it seems to be cleaner because you're just injecting a molecule of messenger RNA instead of a virus that then has to go into the body and generate, you know, inject its DNA into the cells to make the spike protein. I just think the mRNA vaccines are cleaner. Now, when it comes to this cerebral sinus thrombosis thing, there's a big vein at the top of the head above the brain called the cerebral sinus. And there was 6 people out of 6 million people got blood clots in there, and it caused some pretty severe problems. And at least one of those people died. But Dr. Scott, my partner, and I did some research, and we just Googled, and you can do this, the incidence of that in the general population. And it's about 4 four per million per year. And the one per million, six people out of 6 million, was over 3 months. So if you multiply that out for a year, it comes out to about four per million,
right,
which is the incidence in the general population. So I'm not even sure if that's a thing.
Well, that's what people were saying, the same thing with, was it Bell's palsy, I guess. But
always got to look at the incidence of these things in the general population compare it.
I feel like it was sort of a coincidence, you know. But overall, like, you know, your family members, you're recommending your family members to get the vaccine. How old are your kids now?
My kids are 18 and 16, and they've both been vaccinated.
And you recommended them to get vaccinated?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, and they're both healthy.
Yeah.
Strong.
Yeah. Smart it just, kids. One of them's going to college. He just didn't want to F with it in college because he was pretty sure that when he got there, they were going to say, oh, you got to get vaccinated. So he just went ahead and did it while it was easy for him to do here.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, that speaks volumes to me, by the way.
Well, I might be a complete dumbass.
That's what I'm saying. That's big volumes to me. Why do we even do this show? You are stupid. that you would recommend your kids to get it. It means a lot. You know, that's one of my things with my kid. I'm like, I don't really want to fucking. I just don't like being forced to put things not only into my body, but my kid's body. But it does make me feel better knowing that that's something that you recommended for your kids.
I'm a whole shitload older than you. And I had a friend in kindergarten before we had measles vaccine who died from measles. We had three or four people in my school that were in wheelchairs from polio. We don't see any of that shit anymore. Who do you know has ever seen diphtheria? I've seen one case of tetanus in my career, and that was on somebody that never got the tetanus vaccine. So I am a big fan of vaccines. I'll tell you one that I'm not a fan of, though. And, you know, it's not universal because you got to use some common sense. And I'm not a huge fan of the chickenpox vaccine. And this is completely off topic. But chickenpox can have serious consequences, but they are very rare. But when adults get chickenpox, it causes all kinds of problems, you know, can cause infertility, can cause miscarriage and things like that in pregnant women. And so why would we give vaccine to a kid that's probably the syndrome isn't going to kill them, that people used to get together and do chickenpox parties and everybody did fine for the most part. And not know whether they're going to be immune from this thing for the rest of their lives. And if we don't know that, and all of a sudden we get a bunch of people your age that are getting chickenpox as an adult, it's going to be a real problem. So that's one I still have questions about. Now, as we get long-term data, 40 and 50 year data, then I'll calm down about it. But again, that's one of those, you know, they just started vaccinating people for varicella, 15, 18 years ago. So we just don't have long-term data on it.
I had chickenpox as a kid.
Yeah, I did too.
When I was old, it's herpes, technically. It's a form of herpes, right?
Yeah, that's right. It is a herpes virus. It's in the herpes family. And it causes shingles down the road. So that's the benefit of not ever getting chickenpox is you can never get shingles either. But if you don't maintain that immunity throughout your life, I would much rather have shingles along one nerve root in my body as an adult than to get chickenpox as an older person. That would suck.
Yeah.
So I've seen disseminated varicella, it's called, but disseminated chickenpox in adults, and they are sick as shit.
Yeah, dude, it was not fun. I remember it's the cooties, you know, it's child herpes. And
all those herpes viruses cause little blisters and red, itchy, yucky things. So.
All right. On that note, Dr. Steve, thank you. This has been very, very informative. Shannon and Irish Joey, any other questions for Dr. Steve? Anything that I might have missed? Anything that he missed?
I have a silly one about people that have been vaccinated. I had the Moderna vaccine, and I'm just curious about people's different reactions to it. People get a stronger immune system, you have a stronger reaction, and so on. I didn't have any reaction, so I don't know if that means it's working less, I have a shittier immune system, or how it works.
She's soulless.
Yeah, it's that reaction is specific but not sensitive. In other words, if you have a reaction to it, it means your immune system is definitely the cause, and there's inflammation, your body is responding to it. But not having that doesn't mean that the body isn't doing that. We have a huge variation in human beings, which is why some people die from this and other people just sail through it too. So some people sail through the vaccine, other people are more affected by it. And one of my hypotheses is that if we tested people for antibodies before we did this and then unblinded it afterward, some of the people had a really severe reaction to the vaccine for people that had had COVID-19 already and just didn't know it. That'd be my guess anyway. That's a guess. I wish I could share screen with you all, because I just wanted to show you this Stout Labs. Are you able to do
that? You might be able to do that. Yeah.
Give me one sec.
Shannon, do your goddamn job.
Oh, there we go. Okay, let me see. Can you see that?
Yes.
Okay, so this is looking at new deaths, USA compared to India, compared to Mexico, Brazil. I just picked those at random, except for the India one. This is the United States is in green. You can see around January, this is when things were really peaking out. And I sort of predicted at that time that once Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's were over, we would see some decline. And at this point, this is when a lot of hospital systems were worried about, are we going to have to start pulling grandma, who's 90 years old, on the ventilator, off the ventilator, so that we could put a 40-year-old on the ventilator. Fortunately, very few places had to make those kind of decisions because it started falling off. And look at this. As we look at new deaths, they just continue to decrease. And these up and down, that's reporting. So one way you can smooth that out is by showing the simple moving average. And that'll give you, and let me get rid of everybody else except the United States, because
That's what we care about.
That's what we care about, exactly.
We all know what's going on.
When you look at the simple moving average, and then these are things called Bollinger Bands, which just basically have to do with the standard deviation of the data that's being input. Don't worry about that. But you can see that this curve is absolutely starting to decline, and it's a consistent decline.
Where are we at with deaths now?
Right now, looks like a new deaths, 483 in the United States yesterday.
Oh, that's nothing.
Yeah, and then 933. But remember, this is reporting, so you have to look at the average. So the average is 669.
Okay. So well, look.
All right.
I don't know what any of that means. It's all.
See, the curve is going down. That's good.
That's all that matters.
Down is
that's
good.
All that matters. It looks like my cryptocurrency.
Yes. Very similar to that.
It's all going down, baby boys.
It's all right. That's all right. It'll go back up.
Yeah, well. All right, listen, Dr. Steve, you're great. We love you. We love your show.
Love you too, man.
Check out Weird Medicine. It's been a while since I've had you on the show. Would love to have you back. Obviously, as crazy things happen, we will definitely have you back. Maybe we'll get you on just for a regular show and get some medical questions.
Just talk about dicks and nuts for once. I would love to get back to that.
Let's go back. I mean, how sick of this are you, probably? Imagine everyone else is sick of it. How sick of are you?
Well, I know my listeners are. There's COVID fatigue out there, and we just can't get away from it. You know, every week it's COVID questions. I make a point to do other questions, but I had like one from a guy in Croatia about pimples, and that was it this week. You know, everything else was COVID related. So.
Well, we'll get you back on the show and we'll do a bunch of other medical questions.
Okay, buddy.
The fans and with the staff. That'll be a lot of fun. Thank you so much, Dr. Steve.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's all, folks.